some of the best legacies are ones we don't even know about, yeah. and their name's not on a building, and they had a huge impact that we'll never even hear a story about.
Everybody, welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Tejas Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. Now, we believe that there are three components to having and living with true wealth. Number one, purpose. Number two, impact. And number three, leaving a legacy. At the heart of this podcast, really at the heart of our company, that is the type of life that we are trying to inspire. If you want more information, you can give us a call at 320-222-4236, or you can check us out online at tejasfinancial.com. Well, thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. We call this podcast Repurposed because the founder of our company, Ben Tejas, wrote a book by the same name, and that book, Repurposed, is all about finding and redefining your purpose once you retire. Just because you turn 65 and quit your career and stop working, that does not mean that your sense of purpose and your need and your desire to want to add value disappears. It doesn't. And that's what that book is all about. Now, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation I had with a good friend of mine. His name is Paul Tenhagen. Paul is the mayor of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But before his election just a few years ago, he was the founder and CEO of ClickRain, a digital marketing agency based in Sioux Falls for about the past decade or so. Now, ClickRain has won numerous awards for their growth, and Paul actually won Entrepreneur of the Year in South Dakota in 2014. ClickRain even won awards on their faith, family, work culture that has been taught and lived out within their company. And right before he was elected mayor, Paul and I sat down and we talked about his new calling, his new brand on life. We talk about that, faith, family, work. And we also, what I think is the best part of this conversation, we talk about making an impact on other people. And I got breaking the news to you. It's not grandiosa. It's something very simple that each and every one of us can do. This is a great episode of Repurposed. I hope you enjoy. Here's my chat with Paul Tenhagen.
My next vocation may be as the mayor, but I'm following my calling, which is my calling is to empower as big of audience as I can to be bold in their faith. And I think, the mayor of a 200,000 plus MSA city is a bold calling that I want to follow.
I felt the same way when I left my TV career. I kind of have a change of pace and a kind of a repurposed story, as do you. You're going through it right now. People ask me, how did you know that it was time for you to change? And I just say, I just knew it. And I have a hard time explaining that. It sounds mm-hmm. like that was solidified for you in your heart. So my same question to you, how did you know that this was the time and the place and the direction to go?
For me personally, there's a fire that you should always kind of have in your belly when you're doing what you are called to do. And as soon as that fire starts to kind of fade and you maybe don't look forward to Sunday nights anymore because that means Monday is coming and you just feel like you're restless. That's where I got. I got to a point of restlessness, and I describe it as I got to a point of being comfortable, and then I get really uncomfortable when I'm comfortable. And I don't feel that we're put on this earth to just be comfortable, live these cush lives, make some money, retire nice and live an easy life, because that's not challenging and that's not how change is made. And so the easy thing for me to do would have been not to do this, and not to run. But I just have felt really, like I said, called to do this and pushed to do this. And also, it's what I wanted to do as well. I mean, I have a burning desire to do this and to lead the people of Sioux Falls. And so I got that fire back, that fire is back. Yeah. For this that I was kind of losing a little bit as CEO at ClickRain.
You were there for just over a decade. I was doing TV for just over a decade. I've seen research actually on this where it seems like every 10 to 15 years people need a change up, and things weren't going bad for you. It's a thriving business and still is. Mm-hmm. So, you think that was part of it, or what is it about your personality that made you kind of lose that fire and want that to be regained?
Well, I think it's the age-old story that we've all heard 1,000 times, but people equate earthly success with contentment and happiness. So yeah. Success in business, success in your bank account, you know, business is growing. You know, the company that grew at ClickTrain every year was a record year in terms of revenue, including this year we're on pace for record. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're living a happy and fulfilled life. And so for me, that growth was happening. It was great. We built a great culture, but I was just, I was still kind of looking for something else to fill my cup. Yeah. And so I'm moving into the public sector now, which is open for scrutiny, which obviously doesn't pay the same as a private, you know, held position. You have a lot of bureaucracy. So this is a lot harder.
Yeah.
This is a lot less fun in many ways than being able to call your own shots as a, you know, CEO of your own company. But it's also, I think, much more of a needed next step for me than one that I would normally choose on my own if God kind of wasn't pushing me in this direction.
What role did your wife play in this? A lot of people ask me when I left TV, they say, you know, what did your wife think? And I found that to be a strange question. Have you got that question? And if not, you know, here it is for you. What role right. has your wife played, and what does she think of all of this?
Well, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, man, and that's that if you don't have a unity with your spouse on making big life decisions, whether it's to leave a job or whether it's to start a family or whether it's to move and become a missionary overseas, or if there's at all any friction in that decision, it's going to really fracture your marriage. Yeah. And so in my case, my wife said, Paul, I will support whatever you want to do. I will support you if you want to go be a greeter at Walmart. You'd be the best greeter they've probably ever had, and you would do awesome. Hmm. And I will support you if you want to be mayor. And that, having her stand behind me in my corner, was just, it meant so, so much, because without that, you're always wondering, it's like, is she really in this? Is she really support what I'm doing? Or is this self-centered, you know, that I'm making this move or whatnot? And so having a supportive spouse was the number one criteria for me to make this decision. And she's been awesome.
Yeah. We chatted a little bit before we started recording. You talked about how your life is kind of a whirlwind. You know, you kind of stepped down out of your role at ClickRain. You know, what's your biggest fear and obstacle right now? Like, what are you facing right now that you're maybe not doubting, but just a fear or an obstacle that's in your way right now?
I think the biggest fear that I have is the fear of failure, which is really a dumb fear. And some may say, you mean failure like losing an election? It's like, well, that's part of it. But when you've had success in a couple business ventures, at least worldly success, there's a lot of pressure to duplicate that again in whatever you do next. And so people are looking at you like, oh, of course it's going to go well. He's done well the last couple of things, so this should go well.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't go well, it's really hard to handle. So I have a fear of failure. I'm not going to lie to you. It drives me and it motivates me. It's a healthy fear, but it's a very real fear at the same time. And I just have to find creative ways to harness that for good and make sure that it's not about me or my ego, but that I'm harnessing and using that fear for the right reasons.
What's your definition of failure? Is that not winning? Is that winning and then doing a poor job? Like, how do you analyze that or even articulate what that fear of failure is?
I think the biggest failure to me would be a compromising of values and morals to get a result.
Yeah.
So. And that's very easy to do when you're running for a political office. It's very easy to change who you are, to waffle on some positions, to maybe kind of be a chameleon, depending on who you're around, in order to, you know, fit the audience. Yeah. So looking back, failure would be if I would look back and say, guy, why did I compromise my morals and values for something this stupid or this silly?
Yeah.
Because you can't reverse that. Yeah. And that would be losing a political race is certainly not a fear. I'm not scared of that at all, to be honest. And maybe I should be more scared of that. It's more what decisions I can make along the way that would hurt my integrity or my family's integrity and brand, if you will.
What's a win? What's, you know, kind of same question in reverse. What's best case scenario?
A win in the context of running for office here is to be able to look back in 4, 6, 8 years and say, wow,
we made an impact for the kingdom through the work we've done here. And we've helped with issues related to poverty. We've helped with some of the homelessness problems. We've taken a very tough budget and we've been able to balance it and get some great things done for the city. And we've done it with integrity and leadership in a way that people say, there's something different about that guy, about the way that guy leads. He doesn't yell. He doesn't swear. He doesn't, treat people poorly. There's something unique about what he does and how he leads, and I want to know what that is.
Is that what jazzes you up about becoming mayor, is being able to do that, or is that just something that just strikes you personally? Or both, or maybe both.
A little of both. Okay. Yeah, it's really a little of both. I really enjoy investing in people, man, and just bringing out the best in people. And, with Sioux Falls, there's 1,200 employees in city government, and then, 200,000 plus in the MSA. And it's like being able to bring out the best in all those people and lead those people and see what can happen when we all come together would be just so exciting. I can think of no greater honor than trying to crack that code and solve that puzzle with leading people.
You mentioned the word impact. What does that really mean? You know what I mean? I guess you're explaining it. It's about bringing the best out of people. But that word impact, talk about that, how that has kind of played a role in your life and how you've, started businesses and now running for mayor.
Mm-hmm. When I think of impact, and even for your listenership or for you, I could ask you a question like, hey, name a teacher that had impact you, or name one person in the business world when you got out of college who's had the most significant impact on you.
Yeah.
And chances are there's someone who comes to mind. And when that person comes to mind, you're like, why was it?
Yeah.
Why did I immediately think of Joe or Mary or Mark or whoever it was? And for me, I want to have that same level of impact on people. I want to say, man, Paul took a chance on me as a city employee or as a nonprofit that had a vision for affordable housing in Sioux Falls. And he took a chance on me. And he, because of that, we had significant impact on our community. We had impact on other people's lives, all because he noticed me and he took the time to invest in me. Hmm. And I think we all at some point in our lives can look back and say, man, this person had a significant impact on me. I wouldn't be where I am today if it was not for this person.
Hmm. Who's that person for you?
I told him this before. He's one of the first guys I let know that I was running for office, and his name was Mark Elliott, and he was my boss when I was at Sanford Health. I hate the word boss, my supervisor, but I remember when I interviewed with that guy, I sat down with him, and we're, an organization with thousands of employees, and he said, Paul, I got to let you know something. The way that I kind of manage my team is I manage it with a faith, family, Sanford priority order. That should be your priority order. And to hear my boss say that to me and give me that level of empowerment that, wow, that's how he's going to be supervising me and running this team, which is the exact same philosophy that I subscribe to. It gave me so much freedom and so much excitement to be working for a guy like that. And it actually was a philosophy that I then took to ClickRain. And we use the faith family work mantra constantly at ClickRain, thanks to how Mark instilled that value in me when I was at Sanford Health.
Did that help give you the boldness to start ClickRain, which you started back in what, 2005 or 2004?
2008. So January will be 10 years. I think what it does is if you really subscribe to that faith, family, work mantra, it really puts your life in perspective, where we put so much focus on our career and our job and our stature and success and all this. But if you really believe in a faith, family, work priority order in your life, work is third in that. Oh. And so it really just minimizes earthly success. You're like, oh, if this works, great. If I lose my job, it's fine. It's just a job. I'm not defined by this.
Right.
It's just a... I sometimes tell my staff it's an occupation, and the root word of that is occupy. So this is just occupying your time while you're on earth.
You mentioned that go ahead, sorry.
I just said if you look at it that way, it really minimizes the overemphasis we put on our careers and our occupations.
Right, exactly. And you developed or didn't develop, but you took on that philosophy, faith, family, work at ClickRain. And, we've known each other for several years and have talked many, many times long before this interview. And I know that
so much of your job was developing and maintaining that culture at ClickRain with your three dozen employees plus.
Yeah. Yep.
So like, how did you do that on a daily basis, coming in as their boss and instilling that culture? How did you do it? Did you do it through, you know, meetings or emails or living it or all three? How did you do that?
Oh man, that's a whole great podcast, man, because we could talk a lot about that. And I think the one theme that I would always tell myself and the question I would always ask myself is, are the decisions I'm making done for me or for God, who is the true CEO of the company? I really always tried to think of God as being the CEO. And I was just a high level manager in his company.
I see.
And so the decisions I'd make, and I'd approach each day at work being, okay, how am I honoring this asset that I've been entrusted with, this company, for my CEO, for my boss?
Yeah.
And that would roll down into how I would treat the staff, the sorts of organizations we get involved with, the type of work we do, the way we'd bill clients, the way we'd treat our clients, the way we'd invite them to serve at service outings with us. And so it all kind of rolled up to that top level question: is God the CEO? And if he is, are we making the decisions and doing the things that would reflect that someone would be able to walk in these doors today and say, huh, why are you guys doing this? This doesn't make business sense. And we'd say, well, it probably doesn't make business sense, but it makes sense because that's the way our boss wants us to run it. And that boss being God.
Did you see people, were they bought into this before they walked in the doors, or was this something that you'd have to develop? And how did that whole continuum work with people at all different levels of faith and background? And you know what I mean? Like how did that work, you leading a couple, you know, three dozen people down this road?
Mm-hmm. So about 8 years ago, the company changed its mission statement to read, we seek to honor and glorify God's name by providing leading edge marketing solutions to clients nationwide. So we had God in our mission statement. So when someone would come and interview with us, we'd say, hey, I don't care what your beliefs are. I don't care if you're a Muslim or atheist or anything, but you got to be comfortable working for a company that believes this. This is what this company believes. So you know on the front end what you're getting into and the sort of company you're going to come work for.
Right.
So we didn't require them to be bought into anything, but if they felt like they could be successful in that, they would accept the job and knew what they were getting into. So we're not trying to evangelize and turn people around or whatever you want to call it by having them come work at ClickRain. It was really just, this is the culture we've built and hopefully you like it. And if you like it, hopefully you want to come work here.
There was one time we had a phone chat on the schedule. This is like 3 years ago. We had a phone chat. You probably don't remember this. We were supposed to chat at a certain time and you got hung up because you had picked up somebody homeless and was trying to help them, and it was kind of a fiasco and you're running behind. And this is during a work day. This isn't on like a weekend. Mm-hmm. And I've heard stories about you that's not an unusual thing. Why do you do that? Why is helping people in that position such a thing on your heart?
You know, man, I just really believe that Jared Sebesta and Donald Trump and, you know, pick your celebrity are absolutely no more valuable than the homeless guy at 33rd in Minnesota or the guy handling in downtown Minneapolis. We are all the same person. Some of us have gotten breaks. Some of us have not. And so what would Jesus do in those situations? A guy comes up to me at a gas station and says, hey, I need a ride. And there I sit in a $35,000 car thinking I'm too busy to give this guy a ride because I got to do a phone call with you.
Right.
And I said, screw it, man. Hop in. Let's go. And he hops in. And that ended up turning into about a year and a half long relationship. And I learned more from that guy than he poured into me more than I could have poured into him. Yeah. And I'm such a better person because of that investment. And I just want to treat people like I would want to be treated. And I see opportunities to do that daily, in Sioux Falls, online, people I meet all over. They're hungry for that sort of connection.
Are you talking about that artist? I saw a small publication that you made about a guy that you got to know, and I apologize if I'm going down the wrong road here. Did he pass away and then you did a book on him. Am I going? Is that
he did.
This is, okay?
Yeah.
Is this the same? Can you briefly tell that story?
Yeah, I met this guy at a gas station, gave him a ride to the Social Security office. Over the course of that ride, about an hour, got to know him, gave him my cell phone number. We started a relationship. Turned out he was homeless and a budding poet. And so we did a Kickstarter campaign, and I helped him publish his first book of poetry.
Okay, that's what it was,
and
yeah.
He was going to sell that book to make some money, and sadly, about 5 months after we got it finally published, he passed away in his apartment unexpectedly. Hmm. And he was found 5 or 6 days later by the neighbor who actually smelled the deceased body because Kent, it was his name, Kent had no one in his life, so no one even missed him. That he was gone.
Yeah.
And so it was a very sad ending to a life that was cut short it was cut short, man. And I miss him, but I learned a lot from him.
Would you bring that up at work? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot going on behind the scenes in your life. Would you bring that up to your employees to try to impact them, or was that more private?
Yeah, we actually, I hired Kent and he emptied our garbages 6 months. So we had this homeless guy who smelled like cigarettes and Old Spice would shuffle around our office, and he would empty our garbages, and he would, it kind of made some people uncomfortable, but he was harmless. And it kind of showed the team that, hey, you know, we've been given a platform here at this company to help other people and invest in other people. And, I'm really glad we gave him that opportunity to have some worth and get some dignity back and be employed and have a job, which he was over the moon excited about. And it was cool. It was a cool thing for us to do.
We've covered a lot, you know, just in this little 15-20 minute chat, and you probably have given this answer in a number of ways. But for me personally, if we were just sitting down having coffee, me and you, or to all the people listening, because I think the people listening to this podcast are high achievers and they want to make an impact. Is there one thing that you can do or say that they could start doing like today to say, you know what, tomorrow I made an impact on the world and other people?
Mm-hmm. I had someone very close to me pass away about a year and a half ago, and his name was Randy Reese, and he had a profound impact on my life for a variety of reasons. But I heard several people describe Randy as a world-class people noticer. Mm. And Randy had a gift for noticing people. There could be 15 people in the room, and Randy could notice the one person who seemed downtrodden, who seemed just a little bit off, who seemed like they were sitting alone, and Randy would pick them out and go talk to them and befriend them. And he had such a soft voice and a way of making you feel like you were the most important person in the world. And the world needs more people noticers, and you can be a people noticer, like noticing a Kent, and have a huge, huge impact on someone's life. And take very little of your own time and energy. And so we need more people noticers, more people to notice the Kents of the world.
Mm, that's great. What's the word legacy mean to you? Do you have a personal definition or thought on what exactly that means, what that means or is for you, whether generally or even personally?
You know, I really don't think about that a lot because I think my legacy, you know, will be determined by you know, what Christ says and what Jesus says when I'm standing in front of him at the pearly gates.
Yeah.
That's what I want my legacy to be is will he say, well done, good and faithful servant. Did you do what you could with the assets I provided you for the kingdom?
Hmm.
And so that will never be probably recognized or honored on earth. And that's absolutely fine because I think some of the best legacies are ones we don't even know about and their name's not on a building. And they had a huge impact that we'll never even hear a story about.
Well, one last question. Where can people find you, follow you, if they want to know more about you, about this mayoral race, or just even you personally with ClickRain and all the other stuff you got going on?
Sure, yeah. Well, the good news is there's only one Paul ten Haken in the world, I think. So Google's the best way. So you can Google Paul ten Haken and you'll get
zero hits
all
or
about
one.
Me.
Or yeah. you just get the one. What nationality is that? I'm sounding like my dad here asking, like, well, so where are your parents from? What nationality is that?
It's Dutch, 100% Dutch, man.
Okay.
So yeah, if you go to paultenhaken.com or Google Paul ten Haken, you'll Get all about me, man.
Yeah, everything you want to know. Paul, I really appreciate that. Great insight, great stuff. This is going to be a dynamite podcast for a lot of people to listen to, and even me personally. Great stuff. We wish you all the best, and good luck, Mayor of Sioux Falls 2018. Maybe. We'll see.
Dude, thanks, brother. I appreciate the time, man.
All right, see you, man. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Paul Tenhaken. You know, so many takeaways as a believer from this interview, but I'll leave you and remind you of this last one, and that is his definition of failure. His biggest fear as taking over as mayor of Sioux Falls was compromising his values, and I think that should be our greatest fear as well as a Christian. Never compromise our values in the Word of God in the world and at home. Paul, thanks so much for the interview today. That'll do it for this week's episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this podcast is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters totally free, go to our website, tejasfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And also a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurpose.